Has anything ever happened that got you off track? It was you were doing your task and then somebody else did something over there and it kind of got you off your task. Has that ever stopped you for a while? Today, this morning's text is kind of about that. I'm going to read it and talk to you about it. Last week we were talking about how Jesus can see in the daylight and doesn't trip because he walks according to the light. And everybody else in the text was, even though they were his people, they didn't have the Holy Spirit yet, and so they were walking in the darkness. So today, some more people walking in darkness that even though that have some light in their life too. But here it is, John 11:45. Many of the people who were with Mary believed in Jesus when they saw this happen. That's when they saw Lazarus raised from the dead. But some went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. And when the leading priests and Pharisees called the high council together, "What are we going to do?" they asked each other. "This man certainly performs many miraculous signs. If we allow him to go on like this, soon everyone will believe in him, and then the Roman army will come and destroy both our temple and our nation." First, let me pause for a second and just tell you that's a misnomer. If they're following after him, his kingdom, he will say this later, is not of this earth. It's not like that. And so he's not after that kind of revolution. He's after helping people walk according to light, not darkness. But they don't know that. They think everybody is just exactly like them, which, by the way, is pretty much the way most people operate. By default, most people are either exactly like me or they're not as smart as me. That's kind of the way the world looks at it. So anyway, 49, continuing, Caiaphas was the high priest at that time and said, "You don't know what you're talking about. You don't realize it's better for you that one man should die for the people than the whole nation be destroyed." Of course, his presumption here is that Jesus is trying to take over the land politically. I hate to tell you this, he wasn't a political revolutionary. Anyway, he didn't say this on his own. As high priest at the time, he was led to prophesy that Jesus would die for the entire nation. Okay, so he's walking in darkness. He's off track. He's not doing what his job really was. And yet his job had him do this and say this thing. But even at this time, he didn't understand that. And not only for the nation, but to bring together and unite all the children of God scattered around the world. So, from this time on, the Jewish leaders began to plot Jesus' death. That's not the same thing as saying, "Man, I wish Jesus would stop," or "I wish Jesus would go away." This is actively pursuing him to make sure that he does. As a result, Jesus stopped his public ministry among the people and left Jerusalem. He went to a place near the wilderness, to the village of Ephraim, and stayed there with his disciples. It was now almost time for the Jewish Passover celebration, and many people from all over the country arrived in Jerusalem several days early so they could go through the purification ceremony before Passover began. They kept looking for Jesus, but as they stood around in the temple, they said to each other, "What do you think? He won't come for Passover, will he?" Meanwhile, the leading priests and the Pharisees had publicly ordered that anyone seeing Jesus must report it to them immediately so they could arrest him. So the Passover's coming, this is the big time and the thing, and they're all looking for Jesus. They're kind of just spectators at the moment. Jesus is on his own plan. He stopped his public ministry because they're plotting to kill him, but he's still on his number one priority. This stuff, it's as though Jesus had sort of some blinders on and goes, "Well, if they're going to do this and keep me from doing my number one priority, which is to pour into these 12 and to prepare them for when I go, so Pentecost can happen in 43 more days or whatever it was from this point in time. Anyway, 50 days. Anyway, he's doing this. He's setting himself up so that he can stay on task. He's not getting sideways because somebody else is doing something. It's like there's a meme the other day I saw on Facebook. It said, I saw a Facebook post from somebody that I really disagreed with. I just scrolled right by. Didn't comment or nothing. Didn't have to. So in this day and age, it's really important to keep ourselves on track. Now, what's he doing? Jesus is specifically keeping his sight on the project at hand. Now, the project at hand is twofold. Prepare the disciples for the Holy Spirit coming. Pour as much into them as possible. And the cross. This is the task he's on. This is the task he will not be derailed from. And until it's his time to happen, he won't be derailed from it. And so Jesus is staying on this task. So Caiaphas and them have nothing to do with his priority list. Now he's saying, if you're going to do this, I'll just keep doing my thing over here and do this. And we're going to do that. And then when it comes time, Caiaphas and his people will come after him and they will engineer a way to make sure that Jesus dies. But that's in his plan and his priority list. He's not getting sidetracked because of them. It's so easy for us to get sidetracked and taken off course by somebody. It's as though we need to be able to keep our eyes on the prize. How is it that we can do this stuff in the middle of a pandemic and not live a life full of worry? Now, some of you might be worrying about that. I'm going to talk about it. We started the church this morning with this thing. So Jesus loves you and God's got your back. How do you know that that's going to do that? How can we stay on track no matter what's going on around us? Well, the Bible's full of ideas on how to do this, but the main thing here is that no matter what you're going through, you're Jesus's person. Whether you're sick or whether you're healthy, whether you're rich or whether you're poor, the main thing isn't whether you're sick or healthy, but whether you're Jesus's person. And when you're Jesus's person, you can go through those things and keep your mind, keep your eyes on the prize of Jesus and his kingdom. It's as though there's a horizon line out there in front of us that we need to pay particular attention to in order to get there. And if we lose our sight of that horizon line, we get off track. If we suddenly turn our head over to the right because somebody's making noise over there, then we get off track and it gets us lost or misplaced or it takes us longer to get back on track. It's the same thing as learning how to drive and teaching the kids how to drive. When you're learning how to drive, where you keep your eyes on the road is a really big deal. If your eyes are too far away, then you can't see where you're going, so you have to be able to see where you're going. But if they're too close to the car, you end up modifying your driving so much that you're just essentially playing the bumpers, right? I'm not in the center. But if your eyes are a little further out, then you become immune to the sort of jerking back and forth, always correcting your path. This is what Jesus is doing in this thing. It was almost the time for the Passover. He's got a couple of things to do. Matter of fact, the rest of John is about the last week or so of Jesus' life. And he's there making sure his disciples are ready and the crucifixion is on his thing. So he's got some stuff to do before he comes back. These guys over here, they don't have anything to do with him yet. They might have something to do with him in a little bit, but not right at the moment. He's keeping his eyes on the prize. This is how we learn how to do this, is in the midst of troubles, we don't go, oh no, I don't know what to do. You say, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know I'm going to be okay because Jesus loves me and God's got my back. Will you say that with me? Jesus loves me and God's got my back. Jesus loves you and God's got your back. It's so simple, but if we take our eyes off of that truth, we will end up getting into all sorts of troubles and back alleys and cul-de-sacs that we were never intended to do. It's as though you're on a back road. This happened once when I was pastoring in St. John. I was driving a harvest truck and we were off in the middle of nowhere on a harvest road. And somebody drives up and says, is this really the way to Seattle? And the truth is, well, yeah, you could get there, but your directions were set wrong and you got off track and now you're lost. You're going to keep your eyes on the prize. When you're going to Seattle, find the main routes and go. You don't want to end up on a harvest road stuck in the middle of nowhere in bad weather. And what I mean by that is there's times out there when those roads are so soft that you can bury yourself to your axle. I remember a farmer once saying that he could help him out, but he would learn better if he paid for a tow truck. That's a tough lesson about not keeping your eyes on the prize. Not keeping the main thing the main thing. It's as though when we spend our whole life with a priority list that's out of whack. And so today, I want to make sure that we get our priority list in correct order. That before Dave is pastor of the church, Dave is Jesus's person. After Pastor Dave is Jesus's person, he's a pastor and a dad. But if I don't do those things, if I don't do the dad thing right or the husband thing right, then it puts in jeopardy the pastor thing. So my priorities have to be right. And after that, there's some other priorities that we have. But they all follow those first things. That's the lesson I want you to learn about this thing from Jesus today, is even though they're plotting his death, he's still on his thing. Now, he might utilize them later, but they have no power over him unless he allows it. The world has no power over your joy in Christ unless you allow it. So the question today that I have for you, church, is have you ever been off track? Did you ever get your eyes off the prize? How hard was it to get back? How hard was it to get back on track? I'm telling you, church, it's a lot easier to stay on track to begin with than it is to get back on track. Ask any runner that if you're running regularly, you take a break, you take a 2-day break, you take a 3-day break, man, every day you take a break, the harder it is to get going again. Here's to us staying on track, keeping our eyes on Jesus and the love he has for us. Jesus loves you and God's got your back. He'll take care of the other stuff. You keep that first thing the first thing. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, this morning as we're here, I ask you specifically to lift our people's eyes and put them on you and help them stay on you, that regardless of their circumstances, as Paul would say, I've learned the secret to happiness in all things, in poor, in wealth, in busy, in times of stress, all of those things, is keep your eyes on Christ and follow him wherever he takes you. Lord Jesus, we ask for that. that we would learn the secret of not being buffeted left and right by whatever's going on, but we would be able to keep our eyes on the prize. That's you and the life you have for us. In your precious name, amen.